It's like the home you build, you grow, and you love it. Well, Cameroo Grad, oodles of that to give.
A wonderful, wonderful community, and very friendly, and everybody was neighbourly and looked out for one another, and it was like being part of a big family.
So many just worked here, it was unbelievable. All the dairies were going then, and all the farmers, they all had big families.
Then there was no trucks to transport cattle. All cattle had to be walked, and the show cattle that went to Sydney were walked from Kamaruka to Tathra, put aboard ship there at Tathra, taken to Sydney and walked to the showgrounds.
It was very self-contained. There was a butcher shop here, a little store. Mum to town probably once a fortnight, and that was a treat.
With our son working here, well, he was a fourth generation of both sides of that family, like the Moon family and the Whitby family, to work on the place.
It's quite special, quite unique. The big question is, well, why historically was Kamaruka able to survive? It's actually quite miraculous that this estate, which is modelled on a 19th century English village, has actually survived, and there's really nothing quite like it.
Probably what wraps up most completely the family history and the tradition behind Kamaruka is the hall. A hall that was a special request by the late Robert Lucas Tooth.
The original owners were the Imleys, which are well known in the district down here. In fact, there were two shires here. One was called Imlay Shire, and we've still got Mount Imlay, and there's a lot of Imlay spots around the district. So they owned it to begin with, and then the Walker brothers, who we don't know a great deal about, who are Englishmen, and we know financed the Imlays. The Imlays had a lot of bad luck with Kamaruka, and the Walkers eventually took over. They didn't have very much better luck, the Walkers, in fact. Then there was what was called the Twofold Bay Pastoral Company took over, which was named obviously after Twofold Bay, the famous harbour at Eden to our south. And that contained members of the Tooth family. So that was the first time that the Tooths got involved in the place.
The Twofold Bay Pastoral Association, which was essentially just a collective of Sydney businessmen, included the Tooths in the early 1850s. And then, of course, Robert Tooth buys Kamaruka from the Twofold Bay Pastoral Association in 1864. But the sort of Kamaruka that we see today was not there at the time of purchase. It was essentially a large pastoral run with a homestead.
He chose dairying simply because it was going to produce a populace for the place. He knew that milking cows was a very labour-intensive undertaking. He knew that cheese-making was a very labour-intensive undertaking. So all that suited him. He was not a farmer by birth or anything else, because he didn't know anything about farming at all. He was a brewer, but he was determined to build this agricultural community, and this suited him very well. But Tooth, I think what was so extraordinary was he spent so much, an enormous amount of time and energy, obviously, with the, he was directly involved with the plans of it all. It, not to mention the enormous amount of money that must have been tipped in to put it here, but he only, in fact, ever came here twice. He was extremely proud of being what he considered a real pioneer in Australia. He believed that he was, amongst others, helping to put Australia on the map, started to give Australia its own identity. And he was a very strong Australian, and he was born here, so he considered himself to be Australian, and he did things on an immensely grand scale, even by English standards. It always strikes me to say he was a bit sort of, he put his finger up to the English saying, well, you know, you think you can live a life, well, see what us colonials can do. But he was a humanitarian, I think, number one. I mean, he was knighted for his services to charity, and the story was that he always gave at least an eighth of his income to charity every year in some form or fashion. He set up a number of charitable bodies, some of which would still exist, in fact. So he liked doing good works, I suppose.